Hey, it's Nico. It's 360, I guess, 6 days since we came out with the first ever episode of the Call to Arms podcast. This was a project born slightly out of boredom and out of cabin fever because of the first time that ECQ hit us. It is incredibly unfortunate that a full year later, on the anniversary of when we started this show, we're still in ECQ, and you know, that brings a lot of sadness, that brings a lot of disappointment, that brings a lot of despair to so many of us who, you know, can't enjoy the things that we would have been wanting to enjoy right now, which is more than just sports, more than just the TV shows or, you know, the stupid funny stuff that we talk about here on the pod, but each other, you know, and, you know, talking to each other. We shouldn't have to depend on podcasts like this to interact, or just social media. You know, we would have loved to have done a personal meetup, some type of thing. We would have loved to run into people who are part of this podcast, whether you're a listener, whether you're someone who sent in questions, has joined an open Zoom call before, whatever it is. We should be able to be doing those things right now, but we're not. And that kind of tells us everything we need to know, I guess, for when we get to make bigger, impactful decisions come 2022. All that being said, we still want to go back to one of the core reasons why we started this podcast. It was because we wanted to, for however many times a week that we release an episode, give you guys... I always promise the amigo, Toby, that it's going to be 15 or 20 minutes, but, you know, really it's an hour. An hour's worth of a distraction, an hour's worth of laughs, an hour's worth of thinking about The Office or Attack on Titan or whether the Denver Nuggets have done enough to make it to the NBA Finals. Really, because there's more than enough reasons to think about all the other things, right? And one of the reasons why we started this pod to begin with was to give you guys and give us something else to think about and something to laugh about, or at least try. So it is with great joy that we give you guys this anniversary episode that we've been saving and that we're so incredibly happy to release. It's with J.E. Skeets of No Dunks, Inc., formerly of The Starters, formerly of The Basketball Jones, my favorite columnist on Yahoo Sports. Everybody knows who J.E. Skeets is. Everybody knows the team that he is part of and that he leads. And everybody knows the kind of content that they produce. What many people maybe don't realize or don't realize right away is that what he has done and what they continue to do has opened the doors for so many people like myself, and especially myself, to be doing what we do now. The world of NBA, basketball, sports, podcasting, live video shows, video content on the internet, a lot of that owes who they are and what they are to the Basketball Jones, which originated so much of how we consume sports media right now. So he's an originator, and more than that, more than being a pioneer, he's someone who still continues in a LeBron-esque way to do it at an extremely high level. And there's no other person we felt was a better representation of celebrating our one-year anniversary than someone who's celebrated many anniversaries with his content and with his media career than J.E. Skeets. All right, let's get to it. The Call to Arms podcast, as always, is recorded from the Gatorade Studio. It is produced and made possible by the amigo Toby from HR. Original art is by Alan Martin. Original music is a track called Tropical Vikings by Careless Music Manila. Shout out Mr. Brett Jackson. That's King Wow for you who don't know him well. My name is Nico Ramos, and this is the Call to Arms podcast. Let's go.
Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava. Something going on around the islands. Straight fire when we vibing, promise.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only J.E. Skeets is on the podcast. We've been saving this one because it's the one-year anniversary of the pod, and we promised people it was going to be a special episode. We'd been building up to this one. So as soon as you said yes, we shifted the calendar. We mapped it out to make sure that this is what we were going to offer up on the People's Podcast for the 1 year anniversary. Mr. Skeets, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Happy anniversary. I feel like I've let down the listeners though now. They're going to be like, what? This is the guest for the 1 year anniversary? We thought it was going to be like Michael Jordan or something. It's J.E. Skeets. Are you serious? But thanks for having me.
Now, you know that's not true, because as someone who's been doing this for as long as you have, as successfully as you have, you see the numbers. You see the metrics. Plus, as a Canadian, you have more than enough Filipino friends. You know that there is a Filipino audience that has been long time supporting you guys.
That is very true. 100%. Shout out to my Filipino friends back up in Canada. Miss you guys. Haven't been home in a while. But yeah, you know, Filipinos don't mess around when it comes to their love of basketball. And a lot of them out there have been with us. Honestly, it feels like since day one, back when we were the Basketball Jones, and then followed us to the Starters, and then hopefully have still followed us to No Dunks on the Athletic Network. So yeah, you guys, like, you know, I feel like I love basketball, but I feel like I need to live at some point in Manila or something like that to really experience a true basketball fandom, because you guys are diehards.
You should. This is something near and dear to your heart, and I wanted to get to right away, was when the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship, which was obviously a monumental, tell your grandkids where you were at that moment type of moment, right? And more than just like a sporting moment, it was just like a life moment for I'm assuming people from Toronto and Canada in general. But because of just the large Filipino population in Canada, on my social feed, I felt like, wait, did our national team win the Olympics? Wow. Or something? Like, I mean, people, because I know so many Filipinos in Canada who have migrated there, have moved their families there, and how happy and how accomplished they felt with the Raptors winning. I felt like there was this strange Filipino connection to it. And I'm not sure if that's something that, you know, you said you have Filipino friends that, you know, you saw and you felt from them.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they're just as diehard Raptors fans as I am. My buddy Ken and Jay and Ken's brother Nate. These are guys that I grew up with watching basketball nonstop. Like my buddy Ken, he actually was the one, I've told this story before on our podcast, but we're so old and been fans for so long that prior to fantasy basketball, like on the internet, like now that there's like sites that of course like keep track of everything, Ken was such a diehard that we would draft teams. He would get the Sunday newspaper that had all the stats, and he would like tabulate all of our fantasy team like scores and like have a little breakdown on Monday morning at school that he would hand out to like me and my buddies. And it was incredible. So yeah, shout out to my buddy Ken. I've known forever. A diehard Raps fan, a diehard NBA fan, as you can tell. And a good Filipino Canadian boy at that, so he's the best.
Yahoo Fantasy cut Ken the check.
He basically paved
the wave.
Yeah, he's a legend. He really is a legend in fantasy sports when you think about it. I couldn't believe, and he would like, because there was so much information, I just remember him printing it in like the tiniest font you could ever imagine. Like you needed a magnifying glass to read your fantasy team like breakdown for the week, because you had to get it all on one piece of paper. Oh my God.
Now speaking of people who started it and people who should cut the check, I'm not willing to do this because I'm a cheapskate, but out of principle, I feel that I am compelled to say this. Everybody who has a sports podcast right now, cut the No Dunks team a check, because oh, cut wow, the Basketball Jones a check.
We would be loaded, because there's a lot of sports podcasts now.
But when the Basketball Jones was around, the landscape obviously was not how it is right now. Everybody who's listening to this right now, and a lot of young people listen to this podcast who want to break into the industry, you know, to work where we work, and obviously in different capacities, but you know, have a livelihood around basketball and around sports. I tell them all the time, start a podcast. It's free. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing and no one is stopping you. So, but when you guys were starting out, back when the Basketball Jones was a thing, that's what people were calling it. They were like, this is a thing. We're not exactly sure what this is. You can watch it on TV, I think, in Canada, but you can watch it on the internet, and then you can listen to just their, like, it's like a sports talk radio show, but it's not. And but it's the bones of what sports programming is and what sports podcasting is now. And, you know, I'm not sucking up because you're here, but I mean, you guys really, really opened the doors for how we know sports media is being done today.
Well, it's cool to hear that. Yeah, we've been around for a long time, for any of you young listeners out there. We started it in 2006, and I'm talking about guys I still do the show with to this day. Our producer, our director, JD, and then Tass, who's a co-host of mine, still at No Dunks, of course. And then we've added Trey and we added Lee. We had Matty O in the mix there for a while as producer when we were making a television show. But yeah, when we started it, and we were telling people, yeah, we're trying out this like podcast. You know, it's an NBA show. We get together at that time. We got together once a week just to talk about hoops. And people were very confused. Like, no one knew what a podcast was. Like, right. They were like, what are you talking about? This was like before, really right around the time of like, you know, basically the ability to put it right onto your, like your phone, your Apple iPhone or your iPod, I think was obviously sort of just kicking off around then. So it was a long time ago, but it is cool to hear what you say, like that I hope we've maybe inspired people. Basically what you're getting at is, well, if these guys can do it and they turned this podcast into a television show and actually got paid for this, well then hell, why can't we do it? Which I love to hear. And I love to see, of course, all these people that were either inspired directly or indirectly because of what we did way back in the day, flourishing and kicking ass and doing a better job than we've ever done. So that's cool. If that's our legacy, then I'm happy with that.
See, you're gracious. You're a gracious human being because you use the word
Canadian.
Inspired. Yeah, that's right. You use the word inspired. In truth, people like me, we've been ripping stuff off of No Dunks, Basketball Jones, The Starters, through all the iterations. I remember being part of a podcast years and years ago. It's not around anymore because obviously it wasn't that good. But we tried to run Pun Gun because we thought it was great listening to it. We would just always be waiting. Like we would be on a text chain and be like, yo, there's a new Pun Gun out. And it was drop everything and just listen to Pun Gun, right?
Wow.
And we tried to run it. We tried to do it. We were like, yo, they're funny with it with the English language, but English, you combine it with the Filipino language, it's extremely colorful. There's lots of ways we could do this, right? So if we just did Pun Gun, our own version of it, it'd be really cool. And then we spent a week trying to figure out a different pun for Pun Gun.
Right,
pun
like intended. A twist on it, yeah.
And then we decided, let's just call it Pun Gun. Let's just say we ripped it off of them and we're doing Pun Gun. And then it was, I think we did 1.5 puns each and then it stopped. And then we realized, it takes skill to do that.
Of all the things
we'll steal from them, that's not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be a pun master. Luckily, we got Tass Mellis. He's incredible at it, almost to a detriment at times. He can't stop dropping puns. Sometimes when he gets going, but that's a funny segment for you guys to try and run with, I gotta say, because it's so stupid as it is, but still, I love hearing that.
Now, I've been a personal, not just listener and viewer, but I go way back to your column. On not all of us were as savvy with the internet right away, so especially as a Filipino kid in Manila, who didn't necessarily have internet access in his home. So internet cafes, you know, continue to be a big thing here in the Philippines. You go somewhere, you're in a small room with 30, 40 other people and computers all minding your own business, right? Mm-hmm. I would go in there, I'd save my allowance from school, pay for like a half hour of internet on a computer, go to Yahoo and just read Jay Skeets, right?
Wow.
And
I feel like I owe you money now.
And then I figured out how to get in touch. I figured that out through the Contact Us, the very corporate Contact Us button on Yahoo. It wasn't even Yahoo Sports, just Yahoo in general. I think I got about at yahoo.com.
Wow.
And then I sent in this like 1500 word like NBA thing that I had been working on for 2 weeks. And that's when I realized how hard it was for you and many other people who write as proficiently as you guys do, as often as you guys do. Because there's no room to work on a piece like that because the NBA is so fast. Yeah. By the time I wrote something about the Mavs, who had been losing at that time, they go on a two-game winning streak, and now it didn't apply. But anyway, 1,500 yeah. words, I put it together. I send it to about at yahoo.com with a header, please... Please show to J.E. Skeets.
Well, I'll tell but you I'm, right now. They never showed
like,
it to
me. I was like, man, he never got back to me. What the heck, man? No. I poured my heart and soul into that.
No, you're not wrong about like just the speed at which the NBA moves. And that's why like in my blogging days, like I always was in awe of people that could sit down and pump out 10,000 word, 15,000 word, like really deep think pieces about teams and players. That was not for me. And that's why blogging was so perfect for me. It was like, here's a story. Here's a silly photo. Boom. I can hit you with 200 words in 10 minutes, get it posted, get a funny photo attached to it, funny, punny headline, whatever. And then on to the next one and just like crank those out. But yeah, that's taking it. We're going way back here. We're talking about me writing on the internet. That's like 08, 09, 2010, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's two guys playing a basketball game who look like they're slow dancing. Let me put some speech balloons over their photos.
Oh, yeah.
That was
my favorite thing. I was doing some, I mean, really insane things, just like silly things. And that was my whole thing. Like other people are fantastic again at doing the X's and O's and, you know, having really deep think pieces, like I said, on a particular subject matter. But like, there's also a lane, and there was, especially at that time, I think it's been filled by a lot of people now, really talented people, but like, yeah, just like the NBA is fun and it's complete nonsense. A lot of the times, a lot of stuff going off the floor, and let's write about that because people are interested in that. And now, like now when I think about it, like what we were doing back in the blog days, really is just now like Instagram accounts for like House of Highlights and, you
right.
know, or I mean, it's very similar. It's just even a more micro version of microblogging. So it all makes sense because people love that stuff just as much as watching basketball, all the silly and weird things. Right.
And, you know, you guys, you know, come up with things that we hear now on any court. You hear it in courts here in Manila, if we could open up the courts again. But you know, someone throws up a shot and gets stuck between the rim and the backboard, they're gonna yell wedgie. Yeah. And you know, I've been to a court where there's a wedgie count.
Wow.
And I go like, oh, you guys do that? I'm like, how often does that happen on
yeah, I
this
know. How
court?
Bad are the shooters at this court? That you have a wedgie tracker for this one specific court. Yeah.
And then I go, you know, the number doesn't get up that high in the NBA where 30 teams play 82 games, right? And then you guys are up to like 19. And then he's like, just don't ask, man. Just don't ask. It's just a little thing. It happens a lot here. The boards aren't even. The rim's not regular. And I'm like, okay, sure. Okay, I believe
you. Yeah,
maybe the
type of ball they're using too. Like, yeah, like that rubber ball, I'm sure, sticks a little bit more if you... You
sure.
wedge it in the right spot. Yeah.
There's no way in hell that it's just poor shooting. Yeah, of course. Yeah, let's blame it on everything else. Let's talk a little bit about the silly things that are, I guess, happening in the NBA right now. The trade deadline, obviously one of the highlights of the NBA every season, and this particular season, I guess, hit a little near and dear to you. Kyle Lowry up for grabs there up until the very, very last second. I was a little bit more surprised that he wasn't traded than the fact that, you know, than I would have been had he moved. I thought that everyone was reporting. There's that reporting momentum that seems to take place with Woj and Shams. And I'm like, all right, okay, give me Kyle. Where's Kyle going? And then he doesn't, he stays. Is that relief? What is that? What kind of roller coaster of emotions did the people of Toronto, I guess, feel?
Yeah, well, I can't answer for everybody, excuse me. I can answer for myself. It was, I'm with you, Nico. I totally thought that Kyle Lowry had played his last game, the one prior there. I thought for sure that he was being moved. Like when he was leaving the court that night, I remember, I think it was a win over Denver to snap the losing streak that the Raptors were on. You know, Kyle was looking at the cameras while he was walking in the tunnel, like throwing up deuces. Like basically, yeah. It appeared to be saying goodbye. And I'm pretty sure that he thought he was being moved the next day on the deadline. Now, Masai Ujiri and the Raptors, in the end, they just didn't get a package that they thought was worth Kyle Lowry. And they thought, well, we don't need to trade him. There's no rule saying we have to. And he is not demanding a trade, because I think that's an important part. I think if Kyle Lowry had come to the Raptors and said, I want to try and win a championship this year, right now, please trade me to a title contender, be it Philly, you know, Miami, the Lakers, wherever, I think they would have. But because he didn't do that, they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll just hit free agency and either we'll do a sign and trade with you so everybody's happy, like we get something still in return, you get your money, and then you go to a team, or maybe you just leave at the end of it all. And then, you know, we're not taking on like a bad package, so to speak, that would have to include a bunch of money coming back. That's the thing that gets lost, right? Because he has such a big deal, they would have to take back some dollars there. Now, they could have been expiring, but still, it makes it a little more complicated. But yeah, I thought he was gone. It was a roller coaster for me when he was there. I wasn't upset that he was still there. He's one of my favorite players of all time. You know, I think he's the greatest Raptors player of all time, the GROAT, as we call him. And yeah, it was like, you know, I was a little sad to see Norman Powell. He just wrote a really nice piece in the Players Tribune thanking the city of Toronto and the organization and Canada, really, for what they did for his career, because he's in Portland now. It's always weird. Like, the older I get, too, like, and because they won a title, the 2019 Raptors did, like, you have such an attachment to these guys. Like, I will never not cheer in a way for Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka or Norman Powell or Kyle whenever he eventually goes somewhere else. Because, like, those are your guys. They won. They brought the first title to the organization and to Canada and to me as a Raps fan since day one. So it's like, you can't be – I can never be mad at them. I'm not going to cheer for them if the Blazers are playing the Raptors in a game, but – I'm sure as hell not going to be like, boo, Norman Powell or anything like that. There's just no way. Like, he's a legend to me. And that's Norman Powell, let alone, yeah, those other guys I listed. So it was a weird couple days there where I thought Kyle was leaving. But I'm happy he's still here, even if the Raptors are not winning a title again this year.
Yeah, plus, I don't think that goes on your ledger completely as far as Toronto goes, because if they don't win a title this year, if they have a bad season for the rest of the way, maybe miss the playoffs or have a bad showing in the playoffs, just blame it on Tampa. They were the Tampa Raptors this year. They're not the Toronto Raptors this year.
That's right.
They're the Tampa Raptors.
I mean, like, there's been a lot of joking about that for sure, but there's a lot of truth to it as well. I mean, they have been at the biggest disadvantage in this crazy season.
They have no home games.
No, they don't. And first off, the Raptors always had a great home court advantage with their crowd. Now, okay, I get it. A lot of the teams don't have actually crowds there because it's not safe. But, I mean, there's something to being in your own city, in your own bed, around your family as much as possible, than being stuck in Tampa, of all places. I mean, have you ever been to Tampa? Oh, my God. It's hell. No one wants to be in Tampa. So, yeah,
no one wants to be. I mean, with all due respect, no one wants to be in a Florida city right now in a pandemic. It's just... The anxiety is just way too high.
Yeah.
If there was a reason I wanted Kyle Lowry traded, it was for him to be in Tampa as little as possible, because I wanted to protect his well-being.
Right. Yeah. Now he's unfortunately still there. Yeah. This is a bit of a wash this season for the Raptors. And that's fine. That's okay. We'll be excited to see what they do next year. The big concern is now, is Masai Ujiri going to stay with the Raptors and continue to be, you know, the president of this team, or is he going to go somewhere else? I mean, that's the real question mark for Raps fans that keeps me up at night, because I feel safe with Masai Ujiri in place. I feel less so if he is, you know, goes somewhere else to try and help another organization or does something else completely. That guy could be president, for crying out loud, if he wanted to. So yeah, we'll see when it comes to that.
I mean, that's always a dilemma, right? It's one thing to not have an asset on your side. It's another thing to compete against him when he moves elsewhere. Now, I agree with you 100% with what you said about Norman Powell. And, you know, if these are guys that brought your team a championship, they're just always special to you. I was born in Los Angeles. I'm a diehard Laker fan. And I'm so incredibly attached to every single Laker that's won a championship with the franchise, that I'm terribly concerned that I'm not seeing enough boxing workout videos on Lamar Odom's Instagram account, because I don't think he should sleep on Aaron Carter. I'm concerning myself with these things because Lamar's my guy, because he's a Laker and he's a champion. He's a Laker champion, which has me staying up nights worried about, is Aaron Carter training right now? Because he just went, his Instagram just went to private, and I'm not sure what that man is hiding.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'd be concerned for you too. Yeah. Is Lamar really putting in the work for this crazy fight? Well, yeah, you got to hope. He's got the reach. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be helped out there. I know what you mean. You do become attached to the player, especially when they are a part of a championship team. That's just special. And well, you're a Lakers fan, so you've got a few of them to celebrate. Many, many less championships to celebrate, which makes them maybe those guys a little bit more special, even for me, because there's only one.
But I, as a Laker fan, I am cognizant of the fact that when the Lakers win championships, and as you said, they've won more than a few in my lifetime. They right. won the last one. While I know that they're most probably the most popular basketball team in all the world, and just mm-hmm. on a sheer raw head count, they probably have the most number of fans, I also know that no one else is happy for us. Only Laker right. fans are happy when the Lakers win. And that's something that the Warriors experienced during their stretch. That's something that the Brooklyn Nets are now starting to experience yep. with every single win that they rack up. When the Raptors won, everybody except the Bay Area was like, you know what? Toronto deserves that championship, man. You right. know what? I don't want to hear the injuries, what could have been argument, because championships are won by the players who play, and the Raptors won it. And God bless the Toronto Raptors. There's not one unlikable player on that team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Obviously, I think a big part of that too is people love an underdog. That's the truth. They it gets unless you're cheering for that team like the Warriors, you don't want to see them win again because they're expected to win again. So what's the fun in that? So yeah, you're gonna rotate your allegiances to the underdog, and the Raptors were that until, of course, injuries came into play, and it's a huge what if and all that. Don't get me wrong, Raptors they benefited, I guess fortunately for Raps fans, but unfortunately for Warriors fans, from the injuries to KD and then even Clay. But yeah, it was cool to see a lot of people when the Raptors won the title that night. I mean, it felt like I won a championship. I'm not kidding you. And that's because, you know, I do a show. That's when we were still the Starters. It was no secret that I was a diehard Raptors fan along with Tass. We, you know, it's not like we were homers by any means, but people knew we were Raps fans and we were cheering for them because we were there again since they came into, you know, existence back in 95, 96. My phone was going off. I was a part of it. Like I was like the 12th man. It was wild. Like the congratulatory texts and the tweets and stuff like that. The calls, like people FaceTiming me, like congratulating me on the championship. It's like, oh, I'm just a fan. You know, I'm just cheering them on. But I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying. The concept of like, people were really behind the Raptors, even if they're not Raptors fans, at least for that year.
You fuel us, we fuel you. Gatorade studies the best athletes to create the most advanced sports fuel with fluids, electrolytes, and carbohydrates. So you can play your best. Nothing beats Gatorade.
Hey, we'll jump back to our conversation with J.E. Skeets in just a second. In the meantime, though, as you guys know by now, the People's Podcast supports the people who support the podcast. And we do that by having a side hustle sponsor every single episode. This sponsor pays us zero money, zero, absolutely nothing. And we make sure that they get the shine that they deserve on the show. And if you have a side hustle of your own that started in the pandemic, if you're selling food, if you're selling, it doesn't really matter what it is that you guys sell, let us know about it. Pay us nothing. And we'll let the world know about how they can support your product. Our side hustle sponsor this week is a very, very wonderful website called calltoarmspodcast.com. We got a site. We got merch. That's where you guys can buy the Call to Arms podcast merch designed by our own Alan Martin. Head on over. The pre-orders are open right now, and you'll get your tees. We're doing a run of two t-shirts right now, a very limited run. And if you pre-order right now, you'll get your tees this month. Again, it is calltoarmspodcast.com. Order your t-shirts there. All right, now back to our conversation with J.E. Skeets. Now let's talk a little bit about the rest of the league and try to touch up on you know, as many of these teams and these personalities as we can. I know that you guys are recording the pod right after this, so I'll think of it as a little bit of a warm up if you'd indulge me, right? Obviously the Nets are the biggest, they're the biggest draw. They're the biggest ticket. And I hear it over and over and over again, right? And as a member of the media, as an accredited, badged member of the NBA media, I guess, in the little part that I play in that, when I hear, oh, awards are dictated by the media narrative, I somehow feel attacked a little bit because I am a professional member of the media. While right. I do not discount the validity of that argument, and the personal votes and the personal, I guess, philosophies that those media members who hold votes, they do sway certain awards, MVPs, I guess, most importantly. Mm-hmm. But outside of the whole Houston drama that he forced himself out of a team in probably the worst way possible, what's a good argument against James Harden being the leading MVP candidate right here, right now?
Outside of how he departed Houston, there isn't much. There really isn't, because he's been playing just phenomenal. And it's been wild that he's doing this where one night Kyrie's in the lineup, then he's gone. KD, of course, hasn't been there for a good chunk of this run. They still win all these games. You know, they're adding new pieces from the bio market. Okay, Griffin's there now. He's contributing. We'll see what Aldridge can give them. Then we got guys like Bruce Brown. Everyone's like, what? Who's this guy? Suddenly he's like good. Claxton, same thing. You know, Joe Harris, we know, is a great shooter, and that makes sense around Harden because that's what we saw in Houston. But yeah, outside of him like basically demanding his way out of Houston, which he got done, and getting his way to Brooklyn, on the court, from the time he put on a Nets jersey, it's hard-pressed to find a reason to say that guy's not the most valuable. Now, I think you can easily just make a most valuable case for a guy like Jokic just as much. Sure. Like, you watch a Denver Nuggets game, there one's a big dude and one's a small guy, but it's damn similar in the sense like everything runs through them for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, everything runs through Jokic for Denver, and when, especially when Kyrie's not there, everything runs through Harden. Even when he is there, because Kyrie basically said, he's the point guard, not me. Like, he's the guard. He's the PG, talking about Harden. So, I mean, I think Jokic has been just as special. He's done it longer. He doesn't have that weird black mark on him of, like, yeah, demanding a trade anywhere and stuff like that. But I won't be angry with either of these guys winning. I think Jokic, he's still in the lead after the injuries to Embiid and to LeBron. I think Jokic sort of has a path there, but Harden's going to get a lot of votes. He's going to get a hell of a lot of votes. But I ultimately do think a small part of that, you know, that demanding his way out of Houston will be held over his head by some people in the media. And that's one other thing I want to say. When people complain about the media, they make it sound like it's one person.
Well, they make it not. Sound like everyone has meetings every week.
Yeah, exactly. It's 100+ people. So you can't just lump everybody's going to think the same way. Are parts of them maybe going to hold that against James Harden the way he left Houston? Yeah, but I don't think everybody is. It'll just like depend on how many, I guess, to get the first place votes. But I think he's finishing top five in the MVP vote. At this point, I'd be sort of shocked if he's not top three.
Right.
Again, to the injuries to Embiid and LeBron coming in there. But we'll see. You know, Lillard's on the short list too. Giannis. I mean, there is a great case for narrative. Like, if the Bucks had the number one record again, which is in play, I'm not saying they will, but it's in play. Like, and Giannis has the exact same numbers as the 2 years prior, he's still not getting it. There's just, like, people are just not going to feel comfortable making him a three-time MVP with with what we've seen happen in the playoffs. They're just not going to do it. And not that that's right or wrong, but it's just the way it is. So I think he comes up a little short. That's why it's Jokic or Harden to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a safe bet to bet against Giannis at this point.
Yeah.
I think that the apprehension to give someone three straight MVPs with no true playoff success in those first 2 years is a larger, much larger unlikelihood than it is to reward someone who started the season by really gaining weight to force himself out of his team to get to the team that he wanted. I mean, Steve Nash would be the first person to tell you there's no way they're going to give him three in a row.
Right. No, he's not. And that's fine. And I don't think, you know what? I don't think Giannis cares. Like, I think Giannis would probably trade his two MVPs that he has now for one ring. Let's say, I bet he makes that deal. In fact, I know he would make that deal. And most players probably would. So he ain't gonna, you know, lose sleep over not winning a third one, even if, like, you know, you can convince yourself that he's the rightful MVP. You know, MVP is a fun conversation because it's always like, well, what does the valuable part mean? Like, why isn't Steph Curry the most valuable player, right? You seen that team when he doesn't play? You know, they're pretty ordinary. When Curry's out there, they're pretty special. Lillard has a great case too, like I said. So it's cool race this year that we have, like, you know, feels like 3, 4, 5 legit MVP candidates. Would have been better if Embiid and LeBron didn't get injured, because then I think it's really, really heated, that race. But
especially because LeBron's going for it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. LeBron wanted it. That's the thing. He definitely wanted it. That's why he was playing all these games. That's why he was putting up, of course. I mean, he puts up those numbers in his sleep, but yeah, that was the real reason he was playing all these games. AD was out. That helped him. Lakers were still winning. And then, unfortunately he has the high ankle sprain and he's going to miss a good chunk of time. And so, yeah, he's not winning it. And will he be a little upset with that? Sure. But he's more upset that the ankle sprain happened, I think, than him ultimately not getting it in the end.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a race that he could rejoin at this point, and still kind of keep himself fresh for the playoffs. So the Lakers, hopefully they keep themselves out of the play-in, and hopefully they get themselves in a decent spot, somewhere in the top six is my only prayer. Because you get to the play-in tournament, and then that's just bonkers. There's just no guarantees. Can I say this though? And I don't mean to explain language coming from someone who lives in a country where English is our second language, although English proficiency in this country is probably the highest you're going to get in all of Asia. But there's a syntax struggle with the play-in tournament. And we've had a long-standing term here in the Philippines, in Philippine basketball and Philippine sports in general, that I just like to suggest to you as a member of mainstream media with as large audience as you have in basketball. Because it's tough for people to explain, all right, the bottom team has to win two teams. It's a best of three, but the higher seeded team already has won game one, essentially, virtually, things like that. It gets pretty tough. Gets pretty wordy. Yeah. Here it is. It's in three words. They're hyphenated, so it makes it better, and it's catchy. You ready for it?
Sure.
Twice to beat advantage. That's what it's called. That's what we call it in the Philippines.
Okay, now I'm going to need you to say it again. I'm going to need you to say it again because you froze at that exact time when you were about to tell me what it is. So I actually have no idea what you said. So say it again.
All right. Okay. Here it is. It's actually four words. Sorry. It's twice to beat advantage.
Twice to beat advantage.
Yep. The higher seeded team has a twice to beat advantage. You have to beat them twice.
Okay. I like it. It's
We've been using it for decades. I would have handwritten a letter to Adam Silver with a suggestion, but as with my experience with the whole Yahoo thing, trying to send my writing to you in the past, I'm still scarred by it. So I'm just suggesting it personally there. Try it out.
Yep.
Play around with it in the house. And if it feels natural to you, then maybe it catches on.
Okay. I do like it. I'm gonna throw it at the guys when we start talking about this play-in tournament, which, you're right, can get a little confusing. it's also just confusing right now because we don't have the teams in front of us, right? We don't have the actual seeds set. So that makes it a little more difficult for people to wrap their heads around it. But okay, twice to beat advantage. What was it again?
Yeah, twice to beat advantage. Yeah.
Right, twice there to beat go. Advantage. Okay, yeah, I see why you said it's four words though. You got to get that two in there. Twice to beat advantage. Okay, okay, I'll definitely, right. I'll bring it to the masses and see what they say.
It's you're doing me a huge favor, and the technicality, the rules and technicalities committees here in the Philippines, they would greatly appreciate it.
So let me ask you this: you guys have you said this is already a thing that exists? What, in Filipino basketball, like in the leagues there?
Every tournament you can find.
Oh, interesting.
Whether it's your random weekend league that kids play, that I've been playing my entire life, whether it's a corporate league between different office buildings and stuff like that, you go college basketball, you go all the way to the professional level. The way we do our college basketball here is there's teams, they go in battle, they get to the semifinals, which is the final four, right? The top two seeded teams after the elimination, after the regular season, they have a twice to beat advantage. Number three and number four have to beat 1 and 2 twice to get to the finals.
Wow,
and then you get
wow.
to the finals. That's where it differs. You get to the finals, it's a best of five, it's a best of seven, it's a
okay,
best of three.
Okay, okay. Interesting.
But yeah, it's
so they're really like want to credit that number 1 and 2 seed. They want to give like more weight to the regular season to finish atop the standings, basically.
Absolutely. There's no, I don't know why. It's a cultural thing. Maybe that's where my New York Times bestseller lives. But there's no way we would ever imagine doing straight knockout March Madness style basketball.
Right. It is crazy when you think about it. But then again, that one's tough because there are so many teams. They're not playing the same teams like within conferences, right? So everything's weighted weirdly. Because you might be in one conference and then you're in another conference. So they just decided, well, it's madness. Let's just let them play one game and see what happens. And obviously it does work out for times. But, you know, you were talking there about this twice to beat advantage. I just realized when I played like 3-on-3 pickup basketball, like here when I was younger, and, you know, we always would make it to the end. And we'd usually lose in the finals. But one year we made it all the way to the end, to the final, without losing. And when we got to the end, we had that twice to beat advantage, because if we had lost the game, first game, that team we were playing in the final would have to beat us again because they had lost at some point, like early in the tournament, and we had gone undefeated. So yeah, I actually have done this as well. We never played that second game because we kicked their ass, but
there you go.
Yeah, twice to beat advantage. Okay. I like it. I'm going to think about that a little bit more.
All right. Okay. Thank you, by the way, for indulging me. We talked MVP candidates. That usually checks off the big names, the big ticket teams, and all of that. But the NBA is a 30-team league. The NBA is a 30-team league, and there's a lot of people like to call them league pass teams. People like to call them second favorite teams. There's a lot of teams out there that, and I think that the market here in the Philippines over the last, I would say 5-10 years, has so rapidly matured when it comes to their consumption of the NBA. The NBA feels like it's a local sport pretty much here in the Philippines because of League Pass, because of the internet, and because you can now watch a Minnesota Timberwolves game against the Washington Wizards. When before, you know, I grew up in a time when the only time I'd see Michael Jordan play was in the playoffs. I had no idea what he would do in the regular season. They would be playing teams in the playoffs, and I'd be looking at who was on that team because you just don't see them on TV.
Yeah.
But you know, there's teams out there that still don't get as much love. They don't get talked. I know you guys get fan mail all the time. Talk about my team, guys. Yep. Talk about my team. No dunks. Which has been your second favorite team? Which has been that small market team, that sleeper team that you just incredibly enjoyed watching, and why is it LaMelo Ball and the Charlotte Hornets?
I was just going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth before the injury to LaMelo Ball. And still, if we're being honest, it probably is the Hornets. There's a couple of reasons why. One, great aesthetic. You know, they got great jerseys. You know, they've
leaned into the teal is undefeated. You can't go wrong with teal.
It's so good. It's so good. It takes you back. It's a nostalgic feeling for me growing up in the 90s with the Hornets and Muggsy Bogues and Zoe and Larry Johnson, stuff like that. So it just looks cool. They've got the best broadcast duo going in the league. Eric Collins, who's on their play-by-play, is like a madman, like going nuts over like what feels like inconsequential like plays at times, but it's great. Del Curry is his color commentator, so they're a great duo. And then they just play all these close games. They're always in a close game where it's up to, you know, Devontae Graham or Terry Rozier or Gordon Hayward or a Bridges dunk, like to like hit a clutch shot late. So they're just in these entertaining games. So they are, it's a bit of a cliche answer because you knew I was going to pick it, it sounds like, but they are, they're a really fun watch. I'll say for me too, they're an East Coast team. So they're helped out by the fact that they're like usually a part of the earlier games.
That's right.
Which is just like, you know, for me, it doesn't go for everybody. You know, it's different for you guys in the Philippines, different for people on the West Coast here in the States, but it's like, they're just like right in the sweet spot where I just tend to watch a lot of their games. I got it fired up on the television. Another team for me, and I don't think they're getting enough love right now, the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns, okay. I mean, especially like their record, they're second in the Western Conference as of like recording this with you, which is like mind-boggling. Like all the attention's been on the Jazz, you know, rightfully so. They've looked great. You know, we talk about the Nuggets a ton. And again, Jokic MVP and the additions they made and Aaron Gordon and stuff like that. I get it. They're a fun watch. But like, why are people not talking about the Suns? I can't really figure it out. Like people are like, yeah, they're good. I guess nobody is convinced they'll do anything in the playoffs, which I don't know. I've watched a lot of them and I'm like, this is a damn good team. Like I love Devin Booker. I'm so happy to see him on a good team now, you know, sort of getting his flowers a little bit. People are like, oh yeah, Devin Booker is good. Yeah. He's always been good. He just didn't have anybody around him. You know, you bring Chris Paul in, you bring Jay Crowder in. These guys are like just vets that help you win a game, a bunch of games. DeAndre Ayton's getting better and better. I love Mikal Bridges as a defender. Like, I'm high on the Suns. So I try and watch them too. They're a little bit later games for me because they're, you know, more to the West Coast, but I'm all in on Phoenix. So it's the Hornets and the Suns for me.
See, it's the opposite here in the Philippines. And I think that's why historically the Western Conference teams have had a little bit more of a following here, especially after the 90s Bulls, is because you get to lunchtime, you get to lunch break at school or the office, you turn the TV on, and there's a West Coast game for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. The Lakers, so Lakers, Warriors now, yeah.
Phoenix Suns, the Nash Suns were especially because of the style of play, very similar. Any team that plays small ball, especially when small ball was so rare.
Yeah.
Give us all the Steve Nash stock that we could get back during his Phoenix Suns days. But speaking of small guys and the Suns, Chris Paul, I've done a complete 180 on Chris Paul, as complete as you could possibly get. A few years ago, if you'd asked me which player it was that probably annoyed me the most and the person that maybe I actively rooted against, which is extremely rare because I love basketball, it would have been Chris Paul.
Right.
And then I don't know when or where, or maybe it was because I fell in love with him and that OKC team last year. I went from being like the number one Chris Paul hater. I'm not proud to say that, but I was a hater of Chris Paul. Number one with a bullet. To now, I don't think I'd hesitate getting physical with someone who didn't like Chris Paul. Yeah. I think I would defend Cliff Paul's honor right now because I'm just now just an incredible fan of him and I don't know what happened. I don't know if I got older or what, but Chris Paul is point God. I used to cringe when I hear point God.
Right.
Now I barely even call him CP3. Like, if I'm watching the game, my wife just passes by behind me and asks, how's the game going? I've found myself saying, oh, point God's got 15 and 11 right now. And fourth quarter hasn't even started. And then she's like, you know, he has a name, right? And I was like, yep. Last name God, first name Point.
It's great to
so
hear
I just
that.
Wanted I to say that.
I think that is you. I think that's all of us maturing for sure. I think that is a sign of getting older and, you know, taking a step back. And as he gets older, I think what's happening too with him, right? And maybe to some people that love Harden, this is also happening. These guys have put up incredible numbers for a decade, right? They're you know, surefire Hall of Famers, like their first ballot Hall of Famers, they're going in. And I don't know, you start to go, it'd be really cool if they got a ring or like a chance at a ring, like even in the finals there. Like I start doing that with guys like Chris Paul. You know, Harden's probably going to get a crack at it here now that he's joined up with KD and Kyrie. He's going to have a hell of a chance at it for sure. You know, you just start to go like, we saw that. Like I always wanted Steve Nash to be in the finals, right? I'm a huge Nash fan, being Canadian, and like he's my idol. You know, like some people like the Jazz, Malone and Stockton, they're like, oh, you know, could have they got one? There's like a ton of guys that you go through history, like Barkley, of course. And it's like, you know, you sort of wish like those guys, these legends of the game had one. That's just what it is. So maybe that's us doing that now too, with some of these guys. I don't want to speak for you, but I know I do that with Chris Paul. Like I'd love to see him like sort of almost like shut up a lot of the haters. And, you know, it was like, here's the best example. This was what was going on with Dirk. Before Dirk had a ring. And that's just the honest truth. Now, there were people that loved Dirk. They respected the hell out of him. They thought he was super talented. But there was the hate of like, come on, you're not a number one guy. You can't beat the best of the best. You're going to flame out in the playoffs. You lost to the eight seed, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then this guy just goes on a run of all runs, you know, especially in that one playoff run where he ends up beating the, of course, the Heatles. And it's like, then he's a legend. He's a main man. Then you're just a main man.
And it's
then
a perfect like, opponent too. Perfect storybook opponent.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, for a lot of people, it flipped just like that. It's like, oh yeah, Dirk's a, you know, a legend of maybe one of the greatest shooters of all time. You know, just like, it's funny how that happens because he just had to prove it in a postseason. That's going to happen with Giannis. You know, if he comes up short for a couple, it is. It happens with everybody. It happened with Michael Jordan, for crying out loud. Like for those that aren't old enough, that's what was going on. He was putting up 40 points a game in playoff series and he wasn't winning enough, you know, and it took him a while to get those rings and obviously get more talent around him and learn how to play with that. But yeah, I'm cheering for those guys too.
All right. You know, we've kept you here for enough time. I have one last thing that I wanted to ask you. So I said this in the last episode of the podcast, I kind of have this unofficial stat, and this is going to terribly personally offend our colleagues and our friends who are great big fans of analytics. And, you know, by the way, all kudos to them. I try to keep up as much as I can. Mm-hmm. My brain just can't crunch the numbers that fast. But I have a non-analytic analytic that I hang my hat on and that I truly pray to. It's called the Fear Index. And it's pretty self-explanatory. This team ranks highly for me because I imagine them playing against my favorite team. It's the last 2 minutes and the game is tied.
Yep.
And I start thinking there's no way we can win because I'm deathly afraid of this team.
Right.
Number one on that list for me for a while now is Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers. Regardless of their record, regardless that, look, the Lakers won four straight games in the playoffs last year against them. After game five was done, I was still scared that Damian Lillard was going to hurt us or beat us somehow.
Right.
So I was just wondering, for you, which team kind of has that irrational kind of place in your mind that, you know what, I don't care what you say, I don't care what the numbers say, I don't care injuries or anything like that. This team, if anyone's going to do it, it's them.
Well, yeah, the Blazers are an obvious pick with Lillard, no doubt. I think he would be at the top of a lot of people's lists doing this fear index. I mean, LeBron is still there. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Like, if it's a close game, I'm also like, you know, as we've talked about here, a Raptors fans. Like, how many times did LeBron just embarrass, you know, my team in playoff series to the point where it was called LeBronto, Toronto.
I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to say LeBron.
I mean, like, I'm scarred for life because of some of that stuff. So he's still there. He's still lurking. Like, I don't want to be trying to beat him in a final key game with 2 minutes to go. Who else would I say? You know, there's some like weird guys, like when they have it going, I think are like creepy good. Like, I think Jamal Murray is oddly like that. When that guy is locked in, like we saw it in the bubble, he just takes the most insane shots and has like just the utmost confidence that it's going in. And you start to believe, like, is this guy ever going to miss again? He's a training one. Kevin Durant, I think, is on my list. And I'll say this from experience, because when the Raptors made the trade, sending out DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard, And I had Kawhi Leonard on my favorite team on the Raptors. I knew Kawhi Leonard was awesome. I mean, we'd already seen him win a finals MVP on the Spurs. We'd seen what he had done. It was just a weird, like, settling feeling when he's on your team, when Kawhi was like at his apex there in the regular season when he was playing. And then the postseason was like, I never felt concerned because I'm like, we got Kawhi Leonard. And he is like more times than not going to get a good look and a good shot. And I'd probably hit it, which he just did over and over and over again. Like, everybody's always going to remember the game 7 miracle shot in the corner, like the 4 bouncer. But like, if you go back and watch all of the playoff games, like, he was just, he's an assassin, like just a cold blooded killer in like clutch situations. And everybody knew it was going to him. Everybody knew he was going to go to the free throw line and stop and pop. And it didn't matter. Like, it just didn't matter. He was so locked in. So like, I don't know if I'm like saying that still translates to him on the Clippers because they're a weird team, but I saw it with my own eyes time after time again, Kawhi doing that on the Raptors, and you couldn't tell me he couldn't do it again. You just couldn't. Now, I'm not saying the Clippers team as a team is as good as the Raptors was around Kawhi with, you know, Kawhi and all these pieces, but he's still Kawhi Leonard, and he scares me because he's robotic. And that's
what the fear index is. There's no good reason for it. It's just a lot of trauma in the back of your mind, and it somehow comes rushing back when that clock hits 2 minutes left. Jay, I incredibly appreciate this time that you've made for us. You know, this is the anniversary of the podcast. We couldn't have picked a better person to have on. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. I just, as of like 2.5 hours ago, it just became my birthday. So this is an incredible start of the day for me. And, you know, I just wanted to say again, formally, officially to your face, although I tried to say it to you when we ran into each other in Charlotte.
Right.
But then it was unusually cold that day in Charlotte. And then none of us could get Ubers. And I remember, and this was a great pro tip from you. I think you saw us there a little wide-eyed because we were young. It was like my second All-Star experience. And we had just come out of practice. And then everybody was kind of like just walking around outside. And, you know, we kind of had, you know, had waved to you guys like, hey, look, it's the starters. And then you asked, hey, where are you guys from? And I said, oh, we're from Manila. And then Taz said, oh, the Philippines, love you guys. And then you came over about maybe 5 minutes later because we were still standing in the same spot. And you gave me the best pro tip. You said, bro, nothing else is going to happen here. You can go home. And I was like, oh, cool. All right, because there's no guides to this. No one here is tour guiding anyone saying. And you're like, nothing else is going to happen here. You can go back to your hotel. And I was like, oh, great.
Speaking from experience, those can be long, tiring weekends, and you guys are flying from the other side of the world. So it's like, any little, you know, rest you can get in, not wasting your time waiting around for nothing to happen. Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm happy.
As I napped that afternoon, me and my colleague Valerie, who was there on the trip with me, we were both saying to each other, "Thank you, J.E. Skeets. Thank you." We get over jet lag because of the pro tip you gave.
Yeah.
But you've done so much, whether you know it or not, for all of us who try and follow in the footsteps of the basketball Jones. I'm a Joneser for life, and you guys keep doing it on No Dunks, which is kind of unfair that you guys are at this level for as long as you guys have been, and we'll continue to steal stuff off of what you guys do. We can't wait to keep listening to you guys, and you guys are recording an episode in a few minutes, and I can't wait to get on it. I'm as hooked as I was with a Yahoo column, and I just wanted to be able to say that and thank you for coming on to the pod.
Well, thank you so much. Happy birthday, happy anniversary, and I mean this sincerely. Shout out to all the diehard NBA fans and No Dunks fans in the Philippines. We really, really appreciate it. We see you guys. We see the numbers that we do there in your country, and one day when it's safe to do so again, we do have big plans to do like a, well, I don't know, like a world tour. Let's call it a mini world tour where we want to go to Australia for Lili and we want to make a stop there in the Philippines, do a live show and actually get to meet some of you guys and girls face to face. It would be really, really fun. So maybe one day
down the line. It'll be insane. I'll be there front row.
Awesome, man. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
Peace.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep it real in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet because I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.